In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the hustle and bustle of your week, a very important piece of news may have gone unnoticed. A huge breakthrough in biblical scholarship this week. They have found the most ancient manuscript of the Gospel according to Luke that we have ever had. And it even has commentary attached to it. This is huge, and it's really important, and it may transform what we know to be true about this person that we call Jesus of Nazareth. Apparently, we now know that one of the primary theological influences on Jesus was Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Surely that was rolling through Jesus' head when he was preaching the sermon that we heard today. You cannot serve God and wealth, but you will serve somebody. You cannot serve God and wealth. You got to hate it when Jesus speaks in simple declarative sentences. He doesn't do it very often, but when he does, it's usually about something we don't like. You cannot serve God and wealth. For weeks now, in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus has been doing this same kind of thing. Jesus has taken the cultural truth, what everyone knew was just true, and has packaged it in a beautiful package and then dashed it against the wall. First, it was how to receive honor. You want to be someone with honor and to not feel shame? Here's how you do it. And he builds it into this beautiful little box, shows it to his friends, and as soon as he's got enough people who are buying into it, saying, yes, yes, I want to do that, he dashes it against the wall and says, this is not the kingdom of God. Last week, you want to have a place in the world? You want to know where you fit? You want to have some power and prestige? Here's how you do it. And he knits it together in a beautiful little package. He's got enough people saying, yes, I want that. And then he dashes it against the wall and says, this is not the kingdom of God. And today, he takes normal business practice. Look out for yourself. Work the books in whatever way they are to your advantage, because business is business after all. Pulls it together, says, this is how it works. And enough people say, yes, I want to do that. Even the boss was impressed with the shrewdness of this dishonest steward. And Jesus says, dashes it against the wall and says, this is not the kingdom of God. You cannot serve God and wealth. I know when you woke up this morning, you said it's September, so Chuck's not going to talk about money yet. That doesn't happen until October. Why is it that it makes us uncomfortable when Jesus talks about money and material possessions? But it does. I don't know anybody that likes this conversation. But it's 20% of what Jesus talks about. 20% of the teachings of Jesus are about money and material possessions. And yet it makes us anxious. We call ourselves biblical Christians, and yet we want to dismiss 20% of the things that come out of Jesus' mouth as being contextual or irrelevant. Why is that? We have very, very clearly articulated theological positions on a whole list of social topics that Jesus never opens his mouth about. And yet when we want to talk about money, rather not do this. I think it has, confessionally, I think it's connected to a couple of things. The reason we don't want to talk about it. First, if the statisticians are right, average American family lives at about 105% of its income. So we've nailed ourselves to the wall. We've nailed ourselves to the wall living lifestyles we can't afford to live. And when we do that, we're really anxious about money. If you don't ever have quite enough, it ends up being what you think about when you wake up and what you think about when you go to bed. And are we going to be able to make the payments? And, is it all going to work? And what are we going to do? And so it generates anxiety inside of us. And when we bring it up into the light of day and we start to talk about it, we get a little embarrassed and maybe a little defensive. So that's one reason. Another reason that I think is very connected to this is economic status informs where we think we fit. But it doesn't do it consciously for most of us. Our economic status is probably something most of us don't ever actually think about, but we have one. We inherited one. We inherited a way of thinking about stuff and money. And so it sort of informs where we fit. You know, it informs where we live and what we drive and what we wear and if and when we go on vacation and what we eat and all that. And yet we don't ever, it's never up into the conscious brain. It's just sort of down underneath informing things without our knowing it's informing things. Here's a personal example I will share with you. All right, and I saw Caleb this weekend, by the way. He's my son, for those of you who don't know me. Caleb is a junior at Texas Tech, and so I went out to Lubbock for Parents Weekend, and we had a conversation yesterday, and we were sitting in the shade. He asked me a very strange question. He said, "What are you going to preach about tomorrow?" For Caleb, that's a very strange question. And I told him, money. And he said, "Oh, well, good luck with that." But here's the example about this sort of economic status is very important to us, and yet it's below the surface. Some of you know that Caleb has gone through a series of cars quickly in the last year. One of the cars he had for about 2 weeks was really beautiful. It was an old, high-mileage BMW that had been really well cared for. And it was a beautiful car, and it was just the price point for him, and it was just right for him to have this vehicle so he could go back out to Lubbock. He was so excited about it. Went and bought it from a friend who gave him a great deal, and he brought it home. I am an appreciator of fine German technology. I was excited that I was going to get to see this car until it pulled in my driveway. And then I got anxious. I got uncomfortable. Because that's the first time in my life or anybody in my family's life that a BMW lived in my driveway. It's never happened before. Why did that bother me? Why did that make me anxious? As a matter of fact, it made me so anxious that I started to worry what you were going to think about it. What are my friends at St. Paul's going to think about a priest whose kid drives a BMW? Could have put a new Toyota or General Motors in the driveway that cost 10 times as much as he paid for that BMW, and it would not have generated the same anxiety. Isn't that weird? That's pretty curious to me. All of that's down here. It's not up here. And so when Jesus starts bringing it up here and we start talking about it, it makes us uncomfortable. But we have to talk about it. Because when Jesus makes a simple declarative statement like, "You cannot serve God and wealth," we have to pay attention. Because we are people who say we serve God. So it asks a basic question for us this morning. Who do you serve? Do you serve God or do you serve wealth? Oh, wait, we've been pretty well trained. We've been through a lot of stewardship seasons, and we've heard a lot of sermons on these kinds of things, so we know what the answer is quickly, don't we? I use wealth, I serve God. I use wealth, I serve God. That's the answer. Quick, let's go to lunch. Is that true? Do you use wealth and serve God, or do we use God to help us serve wealth? And how do we know? How do we know which it is? Well, maybe there's a simple little exercise that will help us with this. It's kind of a two-step exercise I want to invite you to. You could start right now, but maybe you go off into this afternoon and this week, or maybe we can do it the whole season of the whole month of October when we are going to talk very intentionally about stewardship and how we respond to God's love in the world. Think about what you think about. Consider what you consider. What occupies your mind? What occupies your creativity and your imagination when you're just not doing anything else? What are you thinking about the most? Well, to do this exercise, we've got to get through the surface. We've got to skim the top off, and you got to get rid of your next play with Words with Friends and whatever the bubble is, and when is The Walking Dead coming back on, and what are they doing in West Monroe, Louisiana? You know, let's get that out of the head. Now, what are you thinking about? Thinking about the kingdom of God? Thinking about sharing the love of Christ with the world? Thinking about how you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ? How you can reach out in service to the world? Is that what you're thinking about? Are you thinking about the fact that the garage door needs to be replaced? The steps need to be re-cemented? Really should paint that guest room? Really should put a garden in the back? About time to trade cars? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? And I think we've all been diagnosed pretty quickly when we are asked this question. What are you thinking about? We're thinking about stuff most of the time. Thinking about material gain, stuff. What do we need to fix or repair or purchase next? And so now that we know that the majority of us actually serve wealth, let's just say it out loud. How do I move that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve wealth. But I just do. So how do I change that? And that's the second half of the little exercise. Allow the thoughts to come to your mind. Whatever it is you're thinking about, it's the garage door, it's the front porch, it's whatever it is, think about it. And then ask God to replace that thought with a thought about the kingdom. Thinking about the garage door, God, please replace that. And think about a neighbor who's in need. Thinking about the front porch, think about it and ask God to replace it with, who needs to hear about the love of Jesus? Thinking about your retirement, ask God to replace that with thinking about the kingdom of God. One little step at a time. Ask God to change where you're spending your imagination and your creativity and move it into the work of the kingdom of God. And then maybe we can say, we serve God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.